Solomon, the son of King David, one of the great wisdom books of the Bible. I guess there's nowhere to find as much wisdom in one book as you can find in the book of Proverbs. Every Christian ought to read the book of Proverbs once a year. Now, I've not done that, as I probably should have. But it is a book of such wisdom. It's overwhelming. It's really overwhelming. How many of you are longing for wisdom from God? Not wisdom from the world, but wisdom from God. Could I see your hand? If you really want the wisdom of God in your life, think a minute. Think what I'm asking you. Think what I'm trying to get you to respond to. Do you want the wisdom of God in your life? Oh, I long for that wisdom of God. In the book of Proverbs, division 17, chapter 17, we find two verses that are my text this morning, 21 and 22. Proverbs 17, then we'll read two other passages after you're seated, okay? If you'll keep your Bible open, we'll hear what God is going to say to us this morning. Proverbs 17:21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his own sorrow. And the father of a fool hath no joy. What a statement. What a statement. Not part of my message, but still a great statement. Verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Listen to that. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A broken spirit drieth the bones. Now my text. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Like a medicine. I love that message. I love that thought. I love what Proverbs is saying. I love it because I watch people everywhere I go. I see expressions on faces. I hear the words that come from their lips. I watch many times people's demeanor. And it can be troubling. It can be rejoicing. You may be seated if you will pray for me and ask God to help me this morning. Now listen to me carefully. If you are out shopping, you will often go into a business where the keepers, cash register persons, employees, will literally ignore you. And there's no even sense at all that they're glad you've come to shop with them. But then you will go in businesses, and I experience this all the time. You go in businesses where they've been trained. There is a training that's going on behind the faces that you see when you go in that business, and they make you welcome when you walk in the door. And as you go through the place of business, you will meet one smiling face after the other that are part of the employees of that business. And they've been trained in a humanistic fashion. Humanistic now. We're not talking about spiritual. We're talking about humanistic. They've been trained in a humanistic fashion to make you welcome at this place of business. And immediately, you lack what you see, and you lack what you feel. Right? How many can say yes to that? Just lift your hand up. Do you like going in a place where they act like they're glad you came, and they welcome you, and they have a merry expression about them, and it's all very nice? Now, if you don't be careful, now listen to me carefully. You will watch a Christian and then watch a person in a place like that and think that maybe they are the Christian and not the one you met at church, or not the person who professed to be a Christian. Because the spirit of that worldly person will sometimes, when with proper training, proper learning, and proper discipline, be able to portray a more godlike, a more Christ-like demeanor and attitude than what you often face in the house of God. And I think that's sad. I think the greatest place of love and smiles and kindness and acceptance ought to be in the house of God more than anywhere else in the world. This church ought to be so full of kindness and love and just a sweetness about everybody. And I'm preaching that this morning for us, for me, for you, for those in Texas, for everybody that hears me. I'm preaching that because we are God's mirror in our world. We are God's mirror in our world. What many people think about God, they think from the reflections of our faces, from the demeanor of our words, from the way we go about our daily life, the way we act when somebody in front of us doesn't see the stoplight when it changes. The way we act in any given situation that will be a part of your every life, every day, every week. You're going to face all kinds of circumstances. You're going to face all kinds of situations. You're going to face all kinds of demeanors. And what do you portray? What do they see of you? What is on your countenance? How do they feel about your facial response? Reflections. Are you communicating Christ? Are you communicating a demeanor that's full of sadness and gloom and doubt and fear and apprehension and just plain old disgust with things. This world is enough to make you disgusted. This world is enough to give you a sad face. This world is enough to make you feel down in your emotions. But listen to me, you're not living for this world. Your citizenship is not just in America or somewhere in the world. You're living for another world. You've been transformed, getting ready to be translated to another world. And so your reflection is not the world you live in. It's the world you are part of and going to live in forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, let me take you to another passage, and this is 4:20. Proverbs 4:20. And I want you to hear this very, very carefully. So extremely important. Proverbs 4:20. You know, the Bible has an answer for every need of our life. There is no such thing as a need that God doesn't have the answer for. Let me read you Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto thee that find them, and health. Health, H-E-A-L-T-H, health. Health, notice that. Health to in all thy flesh. In your flesh, the words of God, the emotions of God, the happiness of God, the faith in God is a health. A health. To your flesh. Why are churches as full of sick people as the world is full of them? Because we carry the same feelings and emotions that the world carries. But there's healing in the Word of God. There's health in the Word of God. There's healing in the merry heart of a godly man or woman. And God has ordained this. It's God's plan. He made us. Let's go back to chapter 3 and read some other verses. Chapter 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Did you see that? Three passages that talk about a merry heart, that talks about an obedient heart, that talks about a trusting heart, that talks about a heart free of doubts and free of the apprehensions of our world. And he says, all of this is health to you. It's marrow in your bones. It is like medicine in your body, because this is God's way of healing you. This is God's way of working miracles in your life. Now, I get called on a lot to pray for the sick by telephone and by the radio broadcast and by different things we do on the internet or Facebook or Twitter. I get called on a lot to pray. And often I'm praying for somebody who has done nothing of their life as far as the word, as far as their merry heart, as far as obedience, as far as faith. They've done nothing to set the tone for their physical person to be healthy. And yet they want God to take over in their careless living and make them healthy anyway. And I'm not sure that's God's way. Now, God does show mercy a lot of times. And God does heal someone who has done everything in the imaginable to destroy their body. And then God responds to faith and a new, fresh obedience and a repentance of the heart. And God shows himself and shows his power. No wonder in James we find the words that faith will not only heal the sick, but also forgive their sins. Hallelujah. Why did he say that? Because many people are in the condition they're in because of their sins. But God can meet both of those needs, and he does often. But God also puts a responsibility on us. A merry heart doeth good, lack of medicine. Now set up straight. See, do you know how to produce a merry look on your face? Do you know how to look in such a fashion that people will look at you and be amazed at what they see in your countenance? How many of God's people do you meet that have no joy in their expressions, that have no sense of happiness in their actions and their demeanor? They're just as sad and gloomy. Well, this morning, I'm bringing you the message that God wants to make you a happy person. And God wants to fill your body with the healing virtue of the cross of Calvary. And God wants to fill you so full of the Word of God that it puts marrow in your bones and health in your flesh and makes you strong and usable and a witness before God. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, I believe it with every bit of my heart this morning. I believe God's wonderful word. I believe God's wonderful word. Now, there's five things you need to do. Number one, you need to put all of your ways under the sovereignty of God. Put everything about your life under the sovereignty of God. Did you know that God rules this universe? Did you know that God sent the sun out this morning and he'll send the moon out tonight? Did you know that the rain clouds are not the result just of natural things? Though God has certainly set the natural action within, but God orders the things of this world. Do you hear me? And he's a God that cares about you. So you and your life and everything about you can be under the sovereignty. Did you remember that verse? Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways. Did he say all? Somebody say all. Say all again. In all thy ways. And he shall direct thy path. Hallelujah. 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 I just really believe that God wants us to give all of the charge of our life into his hands. He wants us to learn to fear him. To fear him with a reverence that holds God at such a level of surrender, of faith, of confidence, of devotion, that we fear him and we reverence him. And he is the power of our life. I'm not serving Joe Chambers. I'm not even just serving you. Although I love being your shepherd, I'm serving him. My Father. Somebody say, my Father. Say, my Father. I'm serving my Father. I belong to my Father. He is the source of my life. He is in charge of my tomorrow. I know not what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I will never forget going to a church in Greensboro, North Carolina. Sister Chambers was heavy with child before Terry was born. And we went to hear Brother and Sister Hart on a Sunday night. And she sung a song. And that song was those very words. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. That song got a hold of me, and I've never forgot it. And we're talking about 60, 59 years ago, but that song got a hold of me. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And if I know who holds tomorrow, I'm in the hands of a sovereign God who rules the universe with all of his power. No wonder a merry heart doeth good like a medicine when we really fear God, when we really trust God. Now, you got to fill your mind and your heart with the Bible. These are mighty words. This week I got to studying about how the scribes in the Old Testament protected the wonderful, wonderful Bible we call our Old Testament, our First Testament, from Genesis to Malachi. And I began to learn the way they copied that Bible. You remember? All they could copy with was fingers. They did it with hand. And when they copied the Bible, they had to be so precise. If they came to a place, Brother Derek, to write the name of God, every time a scribe copied the name of God, he stopped and washed his pen. Then he laid the pen aside and went and took a bath. And came back and wrote the name of God. And if the name of God was a dozen times in a day, he took a dozen baths in a day. Because he couldn't write the name of God until he took a bath. And every time he finished a passage, he had to read and count every word. And count the words in the book and the scroll he was copying from. And if one letter touched another letter, it made the whole copy void and had to be redone. I mean, it was rule after rule that would boggle your mind in the copying of the scripture so that we would have the pure, infallible word of the living God. Hallelujah. And so this morning, we can believe that God's word is living truths. They are dynamic truths. They are Holy Ghost revelations. They're God's divine word. They come straight from heaven. They're full of God. They're full of the Holy Ghost. They're full of supernatural power, and the word of God shut up in your heart is going to produce supernatural power in your life. It's an infallible book. It's an infallible book, and it's Holy Ghost anointed. And every word, when he said, Mary, a merry heart, I take that word as a word straight from the Holy Ghost of God. It came right out of his heart. And if I will be merry, it will send healing virtue through my body. Hallelujah. And I'm going to walk in that virtue. I'm going to walk in that merry heart. Hallelujah. And live in it. How many of you will say, yes, me too? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. His word has got to be written in your heart. And you know what? You have to discipline your own spirit. Now, this is kind of important, so I'm going to come down here. Listen to me. You're not just a body. And you're not just a soul. You're a spirit. Now listen to me. That spirit in you came straight from God. It may be unconverted. It may have turned blind as a bat. It may have no leadership and no effect upon your life. If you're a sinner, if you're not born again, if you're not walking with God. But when you become a Christian, the Bible says the Holy Ghost renews that spirit in you. He puts a fire and a life in that spirit. He puts an unction and anointing upon that spirit. And it becomes the master of your life. That spirit in you is supposed to be the controlling factor of your life. We often call it a conscience, and it relates directly to the conscience. And I understand all of that, but I want to tell you that that spirit in you came from God. And if you don't discipline that spirit, you find people who are out of control. They have no discipline in their life. They're from pillar to post. You can't trust nothing that they really say to you because they have no discipline. But there cannot be any godliness in that kind of life. It will eventually fall by the wayside. It will eventually crash. I've seen so many good people who had no discipline about themselves, who did not have any control of their human spirit. Though it was God anointed, though they've been born again, it couldn't rule them because they wouldn't let it rule them. I have to let my spirit rule me. I can take over and be the boss any moment I want to, but I've learned it's a stupid day when I take over and try to rule my life of my own. I am under the sovereignty of the Holy Ghost working in the spirit inside of me, and my conscience is alive. Oh, hallelujah. Are you hearing me this morning? You discipline yourself under the sovereign hand of God, and you'll find your life making progress and going forward and really making great leeway in walking with God. But if you're not disciplined, if you can't control your own self, if you do right one day and do differently another day, if you are not under the discipline of God's Holy Ghost in your spirit. You know how the Bible said the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. I want you to repeat that word with me. The spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. So that God gave you a spirit, He's renewed it by the Holy Ghost. But in so many Christians' life, it's an up and down experience. It's like an elevator. One day is pretty good, the next day is all out of whack. I'm calling you this morning to bring yourself under control to the Spirit of the living God. I'm calling you to do something about your conversations. Do something about your attitudes. Do something about your frowns. Do something about the dark moments in your life, and bring yourself under the hand of God. Now that's very important this morning, because if you're going to have a merry heart, you got to decide you're going to have a merry heart. You got to decide. I want every person in the building who will say this morning, Brother Chambers, this sermon is going to change my life. I'm going to be a person with a merry heart. Would you raise your hand up? Wipe that frown off your face now. Come on, take your hand, wipe it off. Get that frown out of your life. Get that feeling of aggravation in. And it's easy to be aggravated in this world. Do you have anything that aggravates you, Brother Chambers? Almost every day, I've got to pray my way through some aggravation. I've got to pray my way through it. It don't just automatically go away. I need the blood. I need the sanctifying blood. I need the sanctifying presence of the Holy God to keep me every day thinking and going and doing the right thing. Hallelujah. So, oh, hallelujah. You got to discipline your own spirit. Oh, I'm tired of frowning. How about you? Let me see the hand of everybody tired of frowning, tired of being grumpy, tired of being a negative person. Tired of being down on my luck, as they may say. I don't believe in luck, but people are down on something all the time. Always something got the best of them. Quit letting it. Hallelujah. Stand upright on your feet and become a servant of the living God. Do these things we're talking about. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. Fear the Lord with all thine heart. Fill thy heart and thy life with the word of the living God, and take control of your life. I'm here to tell you, you get full of joy, you get full of the Holy Ghost, and you'll be blessing somebody. I love to hear it when somebody says to me, I met so-and-so other day, and they sure have a sweet spirit about them. I understand they come to Paul Creek, and I'll say, yes, I'm proud of them. You say, does that ever happen? Of course it does. If you go out there and present Christ with a big smile and a happiness, and you've got a great testimony, and you've always got a gentle and sweet spirit, you're going to affect people. And God wants us to be a light for Him. God wants you to be a light for Him. God wants you to shine with His radiance and with His joy upon your life. I'm telling you, you got to refuse. The Bible said, be anxious for nothing. Did you hear that? What is anxious mean? What does that word mean? Well, our brother Ken helped me with it this morning. It means always upset, always bothered, nervous, uneasy. I mean, it might be a storm this afternoon, and the clouds may come rising in. Down in Alabama, they begin to tell us that there was a tornado watch, and the alarms went off, and the lights went out, and people got, you know, kind of scared. And I thought, wow, what's there to be afraid of? My father owns all of that. That's his business. That tornado don't belong to the devil. That tornado belongs to the God of nature. He rules this world. He rules the atmosphere. He rules the... Oh, hallelujah. Did you know you can actually trust God in the middle of a storm? How many can trust God in the middle of a storm? Learn to trust Him. Learn to just turn it over to God. Learn to quit worrying about it. I've walked out in the middle of lightning many times and just thank God for these beautiful streaks of fire that came down out of His sky. It reminds me of how great He is and how mighty He is and how wonderful He is. And I'm one of His sons. Hallelujah. I belong to Him. I belong to Him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So God wants you to have a happy heart. He wants you to be a merry person. And you got to learn not to be anxious for anything. Now, I got to deal with something that's powerful. It's a negative. But I want you to think about it. The most powerful, other than God's power, probably one of the most powerful, maybe I should say it like that, one of the most powerful negative forces in the universe is a simple little five-letter word called doubt. D-O-U-B-T. Doubt. What a word. Oh, Brother Chambers. Brother Chambers, doubt? Oh, yes, it's negative. But it's a destructive power that will literally do dark things in your life. I wrote down these words this morning, that doubt, now listen to me, that doubt, literally doubt will cause a calamity. It is a devastating power. It will extremely destroy. Doubt is a horrible, doubt will make you paranoid. Are you hearing it? Doubt will make you paranoid. I get mail sometimes from somebody with maybe $5 inside, and they will seal it 3 or 4 times to make sure nobody steals that $5. And I think to myself when I'm trying to open it and get through all the different passages that they are a paranoid person. They're afraid somebody's going to steal it. Well, you're probably right. Somebody may steal it. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people that I don't lock my car when I get out somewhere in town. I don't want them to have to break a window to get in there and try to get what I've got, so I just leave it open because it's in the hands of God. Now, you say that's crazy, and I can imagine that there's times that it may be a little foolish, but I don't doubt. I just don't doubt. I know that my God is absolute and perfect, and He never fails, and He never misses one thing, and He's in charge of me. He's in charge of my life. I've got angels walking with me. In fact, they even ride with me, Brother Dylan. Hallelujah. And I am grateful for the care of my Heavenly Father, and I just don't live in doubt. The Bible makes it plain that doubt is a sin. How many of you knew that doubt was a sin? And how many of you knew in all that great company that's going to be eternally lost, He includes the doubters? Oh, that's scary. Don't doubt. You don't have no reason to doubt. There's a sovereign God who hung the sun in His face and gave the blue to the mountains and gave the green to the forest. He's a God that created everything from the mammoth elephant all the way to the tadpole. I've got news for you this morning. We serve a God that's in charge, and this is His universe, and I'm one of his boys. Hallelujah. And you're one of His children, and you can trust Him. Never doubt God. Never doubt God. I said never doubt God, because God is a faithful Creator. He cares about you. He loves you. If He saved you, then He's done the ultimate thing for you. And if He saved you, that's the greatest thing that ever happened to you. You're one of His sons. You're one of His daughters. And you can trust Him. And you can believe Him. And you can obey Him. And you can live for Him. And you can be happy in a sad, gloomy, dark world. Oh, hallelujah. Doubt. Get rid of it. Brother Chambers, now how do I get rid of doubt? It comes against me like a storm. How did you get rid of sin? How did you get rid of sin? You get rid of doubt just like you got rid of sin. You get rid of it by the blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, I have to go. I've been a Christian 64 years, but I have to go to the cross on a regular basis and say, God, I've got a spirit coming at me today, and I know it's not of you, and I'm coming to you to confess it and to cling to the sanctifying blood and to believe Christ to break that power, and I can feel it when it breaks. Hallelujah. And I jump up and go right on praising and magnifying God. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. You must be a merry Christian. You must be a merry Christian. And you must overcome every fear and every doubt, everything of the enemy, and be strong in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Go to Exodus 23. Exodus 23, verse 24. I love the whole Bible, because this whole Bible is so full of God's word. Exodus 23, 24. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast thy young, nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies, turn their back unto thee. Because somebody just say praise God for that passage. Did you hear it? Did you read it with me? Did you hear him say, Then shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. You say, Brother Chambers, has God destroyed all your enemies? Not yet. Somebody asked a 94-year-old lady the other day. She said to her, lady, tell me, have you got any enemies? And she said, no, I've outlived all of them. Amen. Did you hear that? No, I don't have any enemies. I've outlived them all. I haven't done that yet, but I will if the Lord tarries and Jesus don't come. Hey, we've got God on our side. Hey, we belong to the King of Kings. Hey, we've been saved by the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hey, we're new creatures. We're on our way to an eternal city. We'll be home before you know it. Hallelujah. We'll be home very soon. We're God's children. We belong to the Christ. We're saved by the blood. He's fighting our cause for us. He goes before our enemies. He even makes a table before us and gives us a picnic in the presence of our enemies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you are determined to have a merry heart? I want to see it. Some of you are not. You're just kind of sitting there. How many of you determined to have a merry heart? Are you determined to have a merry heart? Are you determined to put on a smile that the devil can't wipe off with a brick bat? You ever heard that one? A smile that the devil can't wipe off with a brick bat. How many times has Satan tried to destroy my smile? How many times has Satan tried to cause me to get discouraged and to become you know, doubtful and fearful and apprehensive? Oh, many, many times. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. My Bible says, if we will delight ourselves in the laws of the Lord and live by those laws, that he'll bring forth our fruit in our season, and our leaves will never wither, and whatsoever we do it shall prosper. Have you read that lately? Psalms 1 and 3. I want to tell you something, saints of God. You delight in the word of God. You delight in being obedient to God. You delight in trusting God. You turn your fears over to him. You turn your doubts over to him. You turn your apprehensions over to him. You put all of your cares in his hands, and then walk with him with your head up straight and your shoulders level. Hallelujah. We belong to God. Hallelujah this morning. Hallelujah. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I can almost look at somebody with a merry heart, and you can see the virtue that goes down from their face into their bodies and makes them whole. Hallelujah. Sister Chambers, God is your healer. Hallelujah. I'll never forget. I was at a house one day before we were married, and this dear man, I loved him. I still remember him dearly. But he said to me, Brother Chambers, Reverend Joe, he didn't call me Brother Chambers. He said to me, Joe, I was just a kid. He said, you shouldn't marry Juanita. Don't you understand? She's a diabetic, and you'll never have any children, and she will probably not live past 40. I said, listen to me, my brother. She's my life. She's the one God has directed me to. I'll put all that in God's hands. She'll be around. He's been dead many years, and there she sits. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. If you'll trust God, he'll take care of you. If you'll trust God, he'll keep you. If you'll trust God, he'll put a smile on your face. If you'll trust God, he'll make you a cheery heart, a merry heart. He'll give you so much happiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. It's wonderful to belong to him. It's wonderful to belong to him. Cast your cares upon me, he said, for I careth for you. Cast your cares upon me, for I careth for Kahilabor. Oh, would you just raise your hand as I try to bring this message to conclusion? I want you to know this morning, he wants you to be a merry heart. He wants you to be a light everywhere you go. He wants you to shine in your place of labor. He wants you to shine in the marketplace. He wants to make a light out of you until everybody that watches you will say, I want what they have got. Would you stand with the Colibra? I feel this Holy Ghost this morning. I sense his Holy Ghost. I sense his sweet Holy Ghost. Raise up your hands and give yourself afresh to him. Hear me, saith your God. You are my light in a dark world. Your shine is my shine. And that light in your countenance will testify of my greatness. The world will see you walk in faith. And they will understand the peace that I give to those who trust me. Be my people. Be merry for me. I will give you long years and happiness and make your life a light for the kingdom, saith the Lord. Amen. The Katarima, raise up the Holoka, raise up both hands and love on him. Let virtue flow through your body. Let virtue flow through your body. Heal those eyes. Heal those ears. Heal those limbs. Heal your saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good like hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel healing. I feel the Holy Ghost of God doing something for somebody. Hallelujah. Let there be a miracle. Let there be a miracle in your life. Give yourself for his glory. Hallelujah. Oh, fill somebody with the Holy Ghost this morning. Fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. Heal somebody's body. I love his word. I love his word. Hallelujah. His word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. That same scripture could be, his word have I hid in my heart that my smile may never be washed away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That my smile may never be washed away. Woo, hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to praise in church. Make up your mind that you will be a merry saint. I will be a merry saint. I will carry the smile of the Holy Ghost. I like what the Holy Ghost said this morning. I like what the Holy Ghost says. Will everybody in this building come and meet me in this altar? Find you a place up here close to stand. Raise your hands and give yourself afresh to God. And you ask God to wipe away every doubt and every fear, every ounce of apprehension, and clean up your life until the faith of God grips you and possesses you. Hallelujah. Every saint of God, every saint of God, every saint of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To look upon the Savior will make it heaven if there were no streets of gold.
Most of all, I want to look upon the Master and sing praises when at last the battle. Jesus, say I've kept the faith, and most of all, I want to hear Him say, well done. I want to know I've run the race, hear Jesus say I've kept the faith, and most of all, I want to hear Him.